You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and I'm joined today by Pastor David.
Surprise!
My regular co-host.
Oh, yeah. That is always us. It is. It's not a special guest today.
No special guest today. But we are, we don't really have seasons. We're not, you know, super professional podcasters or anything, but this is, summertime is upon us.
So it's like season finale.
Yeah.
It's the season finale.
So we are planning to take a short little break after this episode. I'm on vacation. Faith in Action is going to be happening, so we've got some, you know, busy things coming up. Yeah. And then I think we're going to plan to podcast after Faith in Action will be our next one. I haven't asked them yet, but we may try and get Haley and Christy, our fearless Faith in Action leaders.
So if they're listening, surprise, guys.
Yes,
here's your invitation.
And kind of recap Faith in Action and maybe give us a little behind the scenes or something. So looking forward to that. And then I think we may have a few testimonies again this summer.
Yeah,
and we did that last summer. We had some different church members come and share their testimonies, and I really love those.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun to hear people's faith stories and how they came to be followers of Jesus, and so I think we'll get back to that.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That'll
be awesome. Yeah, I think that'll be good too. But today we are going to be talking about the last sermon in our Narrow Road series.
Yep.
So that was like, that ended up being like a 10-week series, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it was a while.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you figure in Palm Sunday, Easter was in there.
Sure.
Which
that's
wasn't
true.
Directly with
that's
it, but.
Fair.
But yeah, I mean, it was still, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was a series we went into it. I had no idea. So it's like, let's just see where it goes.
And look, I survived.
I see. And it was great.
It was a good series.
See?
I think everybody enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. And I didn't die from not knowing. So, I mean, miracles do happen.
I know. Sometimes the narrow road can be it's an adventure, right? We talked about that.
It can be long, and you don't know what's coming up.
That's right.
It's God working on my sanctification and stuff through that.
She prayed for patience.
Yeah,
it got me.
Yeah. Yeah, be careful what you wish for. You pray for you guys. And then we're also going to talk briefly about kind of recap our Mother's Day service because I think that was really great. Because we don't get those Mother's Day sermons sometimes. A lot of times we're smack dab in the middle of a series and we just keep on keeping on, which is great. But I've been waiting for this kind of like biblical motherhood mm-hmm. sermon for many years now.
Well, and as I said, it was my first one I ever did.
Yeah.
I mean, even Amy confirmed that with me later. She's like, yeah, that was, I don't ever remember you preaching a Mother's Day sermon.
That's interesting.
So
I was listening to another pastor yesterday morning, and he, same thing. He said he couldn't remember him actually preaching like specifically a Mother's Day type sermon. So there you go. You're in good company.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, I was surprised, really. I'm like, oh, I got some stuff back years ago. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. I was really shocked, honestly.
Well, I know when we were originally kind of mapping things out, you had intended on the last sermon in the Narrow Road series to be on Mother's mm-hmm. Day. And so I wasn't expecting this, you know, motherhood sermon. And so it was a nice surprise.
Well, I tried my hardest, but I just couldn't stretch that out anymore. Like the Narrow Road. So it's like, all right, we're just going to end it.
That's too funny. So, okay. So the last sermon in the Narrow Road series was Running for the Prize.
Yep.
Which I feel like people always like to use as a like out of context for like literal running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, I might actually have a sign in my house that has one of those verses. And there's several of them that is very much used out of context. But you know what? It was when I was younger.
It was a pretty sign.
It is. It has like medals hung on it from races.
Oh my goodness.
Listen, we all own that stuff, okay? Well, maybe not.
I don't think I do. I don't think I do.
You know,
I don't think I decorate with movie posters.
That's true.
So,
Yeah, in my house, it's either like Bible verses or Cubs stuff. There's lots of Cubs decor in our lower level.
You go down to my basement to where our TV room is in our mm-hmm. bedroom, and the first thing you see at the bottom of the steps is a poster of Jaws. So
that's awesome. Tyler would like that.
Oh, he did when he was over that once. He watched the movie. Okay. He just kind of sat there, was looking around at all the Star Wars. Yeah.
He thinks you're pretty cool.
Take it. Well, I mean, somebody does.
Yeah.
My children don't, so it's like it's all good.
Your own kids never do, though, right?
So
that's too funny. Okay, squirrel. So we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you mentioned three things that get in the way, basically, of like running for the prize, right? Mm-hmm. And they were agendas, excuses, and masks.
Mm-hmm.
So before we kind of get into those a little bit more, my question was, I guess it's kind of a statement / question.
Okay.
Personally, like, I am just a naturally disciplined person, which is very weird. Mm-hmm. I get that. That's just not a normal thing. And so I just have a schedule and it works for me and I like to stay on that schedule. So, like, do it, like, keeping up on working out and keeping up on, like, being in the Bible and having study time and prayer time. Like, that stuff, like, it just... I'm strange. I make time for it. I have mm-hmm. a schedule. I'm disciplined. But I get that for most people, that's not easy.
No.
So if you're not naturally disciplined,
mm-hmm.
and especially in the area like being spiritually disciplined, how do you make yourself disciplined? I guess. What steps do you take?
So how do you discipline yourself to be disciplined?
Yes.
it really comes down to, in my opinion, it comes down to clarifying the motivation behind the discipline.
Right.
So there are some people that are disciplined, and this is not to make it sound negative, but some people mm-hmm. are very much disciplined because they just want to be in control.
Yeah.
It's a control thing.
Oh, sure.
And which, okay. That can become a negative
mm-hmm.
very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But control can't be the ultimate motivation, especially right. when we think about some of the examples you gave. Let's say being healthy and working out, stuff sure. like that. Because that can become very unhealthy.
Yes.
So it's back to the motivation. It's the motivation behind the discipline. So if the motivation behind the discipline, of course, is like, I'm going to be in control of my world and I'm going to have mm-hmm. all of this. And
mm-hmm.
that's going to frustrate you because sooner or later you're going to reach that moment of I'm not in control and it's going to spin out of control and it's going to be bad. But you go back to running a race, right? Mm-hmm. Why do people do these things? And you think about hearing sports stars or sport, you know, people that are amazing at these things, and they talk about what motivates them, and they talk about like the desire that drives them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I don't think a lot of us take time to really think about.
Mm-hmm.
Is what is the desires of our life that is driving us, mm-hmm. right? You know, it's like, we're so busy. We're just so, like, everything's chaotic. And we never really sat down. It's like, what am I striving for? So as I use an example, let's talk about being disciplined to get financially secure, mm-hmm. right? That's what I loved about Dave Ramsey so much. Was Dave Ramsey, not his program, but him trying to create an image of have a desire to live this way.
Mm-hmm.
And let that be your motivation to do these hard things. You know, live like no one else so someday you can live like no one else. I just remember that was his motto. I don't know if he still uses it, but it's the drive. It's the motivation. So I think that's one of the things we need to stop and consider when it comes to our faith is how many times have we just sat there and spent the time to really think about, like, what is the desire? Like, what is our desire towards Christ and our desire mm-hmm. towards God and what he wants us to become and how he wants to use us? I think sometimes a lot of us view our faith journey the same way I would view if somebody came to me and said, hey, let's go run today. I'm going to be like, no, dude, no. Like, that sounds horrible.
Sure.
That's just sounds disgusting. Like, why would I do that? Because I don't have, you know,
right.
my brain has not grabbed hold of a desire for that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think a lot of us struggle that with our Christianity. We hear all the things mm-hmm. we're supposed to do, and it just sounds like there's just a negative response to it because we don't have a desire. We haven't grabbed hold of a desire. We haven't asked ourselves, like, how do I see Jesus? And does that, I mean, am I excited about him? I'm excited about the life he wants me to have. Am I excited? We just see it as a burden. Mm-hmm. Right. So if somebody comes to me and says, eat right, work out, don't spend money on things, you know, like here's all the mm-hmm. disciplines, I'm going to say mm-hmm. no.
Peace out.
Yeah. One of the things I've always compared it to is the same with marriage. I don't know if I've ever shared this here at Blessed Hope, but it's no different than if you were to come and tell me all the disciplines on what it means to be a married husband mm-hmm. without me having a woman that I wanted to be married to, mm-hmm. I'm going to look at you and say, I want nothing to do with any right. of those disciplines.
Like, that sounds horrible.
That's right. You're going to come to me and say, okay, you got to like share all your money and your time and, you know, and like, you can't make all your own decisions. And I'm not saying these bad. I'm saying like, you're a partnership. Right. You're one, you're doing all these things. Like, you're one woman now. And all. If there's no focus of desire
right.
for those disciplines, I'm not going to want nothing to do with the disciplines. And right. but then you bring my wife before she's my wife in that picture, and then it's like, yeah. I want those disciplines.
Yeah, because you love her so much.
Because I
yeah.
have a desire.
Yeah.
There's a desire now of
that's
like,
a really good
the disciplines example. Make sense now. I want those disciplines because I'm doing it now yeah. for this person.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things that most Christians don't take time to think about. What's mm-hmm. what's desire? What's the yeah. desire? Mm-hmm. Because then the disciplines, we welcome them.
Yeah.
They're still hard. I'm not going to say they're sure. going to be easy.
Sure.
But they're, now I joyfully accept the disciplines because yeah. there's an intention behind it.
Yeah.
So.
I think I used to do Bible reading very checklisty. And then when I remember one of the first like verse by verse studies I did mm-hmm. was so like mind blowing to me, and it just really changed how I looked at the Bible and God's word, and just like, oh my gosh, I can actually understand this mm-hmm. and it's much deeper than I initially thought it was, and yeah. there's just so much to it. And like, I think that was when I just really fell in love with scripture, and it made me love God more. And so mm-hmm. that desire now is just, I want to be in the word all the time. Like, if I could just sit and read my Bible and study all the time, I would yeah. be a happy girl. But yeah. you know, life.
And I think some people would hear you say that.
Yeah.
And if they don't have that desire,
yeah.
they kind of sit there and we almost check ourselves out that we could never have that desire.
Yeah, but you can.
It's like, that's the thing. Yeah. Yes. It's like, don't
God's
see it
word
that way.
Is for everyone. Yes. And everyone, yeah. he has put yeah. that in them.
So it's like, so to compare it again to just a natural thing is mm-hmm. so year ago, I was doing a whole lot better being healthier, mm-hmm. working out, doing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that all fell by the wayside. And I've tried to start back into it again. And it amazes me how like, the desire is not yeah. there.
Well, you
like,
guys had a goal.
Yeah, yeah, there was an intention.
Yeah.
And so my I'm trying even now to retrain my brain mm-hmm. because I remember before how much I enjoyed it. And now I'm like struggling because
yeah.
so I have to retrain my brain to say, I know I had a desire before. It's almost, and yeah. that's the thing we have to tell ourselves. If you hear somebody say, I love the word of God, and you're like, that's not, God just didn't wire yeah. me that way. It's yeah. like, stop it.
Yeah.
That's just he a did. Rewiring of thinking yeah. and focus and asking God to do it. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. that would be my encouragement. Somebody might hear that and say, well, there's something wrong with me.
Yeah, no.
It's like, you're just not there yet,
mm-hmm.
but God wants you there.
Yeah, and I think finding the right type of study or reading plan or whatever that's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that's opened my mind too is just remembering that it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Yeah. And so for so long, I was like just trying to consume as much as fast as I could because I'm like, gosh, I'm so old already. Like, I feel like I've missed, like I've wasted yeah. so much of my life, you know, yeah. and I've only, who knows how much time I have left to read and learn. But I think now I'm more of like looking at the long game instead of like, how much can I learn like quickly to, okay, let's really sit and savor mm-hmm. and spend like a long time really, really learning what I'm reading versus yeah. just yeah. like that quick consumption kind
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and go back to the title of the, what's the prize? That's, mm-hmm. that goes back to the motivation, yeah. right? Define the prize. The prize yeah. is, do I want to know everything? Well, you never are. So right. that can't be the prize.
And the more you learn, know, the more you know that.
Exactly. So, you know, it's ultimately us defining the prize. What is yeah. the prize? And ultimately, the prize has to be Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the prize. Mm-hmm. He's the prize. And again, I just don't think we've been taught that sure. as much. We're taught everything else. Be a good person. Be a perfect person. Have the perfect family. Have the perfect marriage. Have the, mm-hmm. like, we put all this burden on us.
Yeah.
Of the prize that can't be ever met. And it's one of the things I've even struggled with in ministry because, you know, while I want the church to grow, and that's not something, but, you know, I'll give you an example. You always kind of question, at least I do, you question, you know, effectiveness and can you do this and all that. And I have to remind myself, Jesus has to remind me, he's like, David, all I'm asking of you, the prize is just be faithful. Mm-hmm. That's the prize. Mm-hmm. Just be faithful. At the end of the day, when you stand before me, all you, the prize is, like I said on that Sunday, well done. Mm-hmm. You were faithful. That's all I'm asking. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's dive into those three things that you talked about on what was that, a couple Sundays ago? Mm-hmm. So agendas. And I'm trying to remember exactly what all you covered with that. But I guess when I was thinking back, I'm thinking of like, okay, like doing your own time audit mm-hmm. almost and trying to decide like, okay, is he a priority? Mm-hmm. Am I making time? And if not, like, okay, what steps do we take to make time? Because here's the thing. We all have time.
Oh, yeah.
We just choose, you know.
We choose not to.
Yeah, like we'll watch a show on Netflix yeah. for an hour, 2 hours, or, you know, whatever.
We live in a world now that we actually yeah. created binge. Yes. I mean, that's what I'm saying is like we have time.
Yeah, we most people. Absolutely do. Yeah. Absolutely. So how do we create that space?
Well, it goes back to, I think with the agenda question is wrestling with God, not that you're going to win. I'm saying wrestling with yourself when it comes to God and ultimately answering the question, who's the owner of your life? Who owns this? Whose time is it? Who's, you know, any of that is? Because ultimately the agenda comes down to this. However you're living your life, are we living in a way where we are, even including God in any of the decisions we're making, right? So, you know, God. So it just popped in my head, so I'll share it. I remember reading, this was years ago, reading a story of a pastor. He was in a book that he wrote, and he was talking about how he's a huge football fan. And it was a massive game one day that he was going to watch. And it was after church on Sunday. And he sat down and he had his snacks and he was ready to go. And the game comes on. And he says, all of a sudden, he had this overwhelming sense of God of like, come spend time with me. Mm-hmm. And he said it was clear. Like, God's like, come spend time with me. And he sat there going, God, there's only two more quarters left. Like, as soon as this is over, I will pray for like the next 5 hours. Like, you know, and he said it just kept intensifying. Uh-huh. Like, God just saying, come spend time with me, come spend time with me. And he said his agenda was like, I have been waiting for this game all week. Like, and he watched the entire game and it was done. He said, I got up and I'm like, all right, God, let's do this. And he goes into his bedroom, he kneels down, and he said, like, the feeling was completely gone. It was like God, not that God like turned his back on him, but like right. in that moment, God's like, you had your window. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to spend this time with you right here and now. And he said, mm-hmm. And then he tried to force it. He's like, I'm going to do this, God. And he said there was, and so that's kind of the question I would raise towards agendas with our lives is mm-hmm. When God puts himself in our path or like shows, do we even have the mindset that you're in control mm-hmm. and I'm going to bend my decision to what you want versus what I want. Mm-hmm. And that's what gets in the way of a lot of us is mm-hmm. I'm the master of this. I'm going to determine every aspect of my life and not even consider God in the equation, even though we think we do, yeah. but we don't.
Yeah.
And we really don't.
Yeah.
So
that's one thing I'm trying to really instill in our son Tyler right now with like, you guys were giving me a hard time yesterday. We were because we always do like a Monday movie night, right, mm-hmm. with him, and we like to show him like old movies, yeah. like from the 90s, because those are the best movies.
Yeah.
And so I'm very selective usually about what we let him mm-hmm. watch, and so I'm looking up, making sure there's no nudity mm-hmm. or like sex scenes and things like that. And so,
which is hard for a lot of movies of the 90s.
It is. It really is. There's a lot of innuendos and stuff. But I remember having a conversation with Tyler when he was suggesting different movies and I'm, you know, looking them up to see if they're appropriate and, you know, telling him like, hey, you know, that this isn't just for you because you're a teenager or because you're the age, your age. I'm like, your dad and I have decided not to watch those kind of shows either because mm-hmm. like, we don't think God wants us to be watching that. And so I'm like, just because you can doesn't mean you should kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And he was like, so surprised. He's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, are we perfect at it? No. But I said, it's just something that we try. Yeah. And I think like, that's one of those things, like, is God in all those decisions. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we are not perfect at it, but I mean, it's something that we've been trying and working through. And
What does Paul talk about where, you know, like everything is permissible, but not everything's beneficial. That's part of the agenda thing too, is we get so hung up on, is it right or is it wrong? Sometimes just asking the question, is it best for me or is it a good thing or is it the best thing? Right. It's the same thing with, again, just think about agendas with how we spend our money, right? There's nothing wrong with going out and buying a new car.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But again, how many times do we pause and just seek God to say, God, is that the decision of how you want me to utilize these funds that you have given to me? Do you want me to put myself in a position where I'm paying for the next 5 years for this vehicle? Or do you want me to have something reliable that, you know, again, either way the answer goes, it's not a sin or not a sin. It's do we even see God in the question of which is the way you're leading me? You know, because how many times has bought, just again, finances, you bought something and at the time it sounds like great and 2 years you're into it and you're like, man, I really wish, like this is holding us back from other things. And God might be up in heaven going, oh, if you would have asked me.
Yeah.
If you would have included me in the agenda.
Yeah.
Maybe we would have talked about that. So.
I think that's really important, especially on those things where they're amoral, right? Like it's not something that's good or bad. Yeah. And sometimes we're like, oh, well, I don't even need to consult with God then because it's not like I feel like it's a sin or da da da. So yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. What about excuses? How do we move past all of our, because listen, we've all got excuses. Yes.
And that's the first thing.
Myself included.
Admit that we make them. Mm-hmm. Like we are, I don't care who you are, we are so good at making excuses. Mm-hmm. Every single person is. And I think that's the first thing, is because I think we're so good at making excuses, we've excused ourselves from even admitting that we make excuses. Like we are so oblivious to the excuses that we make. And the world almost, and when I say the world, I'm just saying, you know, that worldview that comes into us. We're given permission with our excuses. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what's the big one you just hear all the time? Go back to Bible. I just don't have time. Mm-hmm. I just don't have time. I'm busy. 100%. I'm not denying that. Anybody hearing this, if you're busy and overwhelmed, I'm not denying that. But the problem is we've used the excuse, I'm too busy, to actually take the time to say what needs to change. Mm-hmm. We just use the excuse. I'm too busy. Mm-hmm. I just can't do this right now. Like my biggest excuse that I use all the time is I just don't feel like it. That's my number one excuse. I just don't feel like it.
Sure.
You know, like I do it. I mean, I don't say it out loud, but you know, the kids will come and like, hey, let's do this. And I'll sit there and like, oh, I don't really feel like that. You know, or hey, church watch, you know, I mean, I still wrestle with it. I don't feel it. I just don't feel like it. You know, and so we think the excuse, like God's up there going, oh man, I'm sorry, I forgot. Like I didn't realize.
You don't feel like it.
Man, okay. You know. So I'll throw him out. I don't know if he ever listens, but Chris Cantrell is the one that he cracks me up because he's thrown this at me long time ago.
He
but
seems
he's
like a disciplined person.
He is. And he did it to me. He's done it to me many times, and I've heard him do it to other people. But if I ever use like the I don't feel like it and he knows it, he'll just look at me and be like, well, I bet Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross either, did he? And it's like, shut up, dude. Like, shut up. But it's so true, right? Yeah. Like, God's not up there going, oh, man, you're...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, there's... And so, again, that's not to pull away from anybody that you legitimately might be feeling those things. And you might... But the excuse does not excuse you from what God calls us to do.
Yeah.
And so one of the big ones, so is you know, like the time thing, and there's other ones like, I don't know what to do. Legitimate, but don't use it as an excuse. I don't know where to start. Okay, don't use it as an excuse. Like I could sit here and say, well, I don't know how to start being healthy. Start asking questions, start seeking answers. Mm-hmm. Don't use it as an excuse to not do it. But one of the big ones, and we didn't talk about this, but I'll bring it up, is Satan really wants us to use our excuse of wounds and hurts and use those as excuses. So if you ever tried to step out in your faith and something bad happened, it's like, I tried and I got slapped in the face for it. I'm not denying that. I'm not denying the hurt. I'm not denying the wound or anything, but it can't be an excuse. Mm-hmm. It cannot be an excuse. I have a really good friend He was actually my youth pastor when I was younger, but we were close enough in age that him and I became really, really close. And he went into youth ministry right out. You know, that was what he was called to do, and he was doing it right after he went to college and came right to our church. And he just got destroyed. I mean, there's legitimate wound there. But what's so hurtful with it is, like, that experience destroyed him to ever be in ministry again. And it sucks because I know the significance of the wound, but Satan got really good at holding on to him to, and it's not even whether he entered into, like, vocational ministry again. It's like it completely, like, he was just there. And so, I mean, it's hard, and I get it, but man, Satan's just, he wants us to use our excuses to not even try.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Real quickly, what about masks? So how do we become more transparent?
To become transparent to one another, we also have to do the hard work to actually kind of, like, know who we are. And that's that growing relationship with Jesus. And that's why I think a lot of people wear masks, is because we never want to really face who we are ourselves, our own insecurities, our own fears, our own whatever, even the good things about us. Like, we just don't want to face it. So that's a big one, is focusing on ourselves. And to do that, to get rid of those masks is, and this is a painful thing, but it's so important, is part of taking off our masks is paying attention to the mask we've put on because of what the world and other people have said about us. See, most of us, a lot of people are wearing masks today that were given to them by somebody else, like over time. It's just, you know, you're not that's good enough. All right, that's my mask. You know, you'll never amount to anything. Okay, that's my mask. Or this is who you are. You're just the ditzy person that doesn't know anything. Oh, that's my mask. You know, you're supposed to be the fun person that never has anything wise to say. Well, that's my mask. Or you're the know-it-all. Oh, that's my mask. You know, so part of getting to know ourselves and take off the mask is actually doing the hard work to seeing how we've let the lies of other people influence who we are compared to who God designed us to be. It's not a simple thing. That's what's hard about it, is it's not, you're not going to wake up one day and just all of a sudden take everything off. It takes time, you know. And there's just, there's forgiveness there for yourself, for others. It just takes time. But we got to be willing to do it. That's the that's where it starts. Start the process of doing it. And so
I feel like this kind of, like, talking about transparency and then moving past excuses, like admitting you have excuses and then moving past them, I feel like it kind of leads us into Sunday when we were talking about, like, biblical womanhood. But you kind of touched on, like, mentorship in the church. And so let's kind of hang out there for a minute, and not just, like, women, but I think it's something that we need just as a culture
across the whole thing.
Older men, older women pouring into younger men and younger women. What does that look like? How do we create that culture here at the church? I think sometimes that and maybe this is, I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I think sometimes it just going to someone and be like, hi, will you mentor me? Is really overwhelming and intimidating and scary, because the older person is like, well, I don't know what to do and da, da, da. But I think it can start more organically than that probably. So,
It is, because if you say that to a lot of older saints, they're going to freak out because they're in a position where they're like, I can't. Like in their minds, I don't know what to do. You know, I mean, because you'll hear older saints like, I can't relate to anybody today, or so that, I think a big, big part of it, how does it start organically, is we got to break down the walls of actually interacting with each other, right? So in a church, and it's a natural thing, we gravitate towards those that have similar, you know, so you're my age group, you have similar age kids, we maybe work together, we do all of these things. So if you ever look at outside of the church, great relationships, let's say taking the workplace. So sometimes that organically happens, like you have a mentorship of an older a person that's a little older and younger in a workplace. It's not because there was, and I'm saying outside of just the work, I'm saying there's, like, somehow there's a bond there. It's because they actually were in a position where they naturally started creating a relationship with each other versus just congregating to the people that they are most comfortable with. So what I would say is, how do we start doing that organically in the churches? We have to be willing to start breaking down the walls of, I'm just going to talk to the people that I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
It's, hey, there's somebody that's older than me. Mm-hmm. I don't know them. Like, it's not about going and saying, hey, mentor me.
Yeah.
It's about, hey, you ever want to come to our house and just have supper?
Yeah.
You ever, let's go out to eat together.
Yeah.
Let's just get to know each other.
Let's go have coffee.
Right. It's not even about teach me, oh wise one, right? You know, like
Yoda vibe.
Exactly. Because as that relationship is created, mm-hmm. it's going to naturally give the older saint who has that wisdom to speak into maybe situations in your life where it's not you asking the question. It's just you're just sharing life.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about maybe a struggle with your child and they're saying, you know what? That reminds me of my, you know, when our kid was this age, we had this versus this, let's sit down and mm-hmm. let's go through this study or whatnot together. It's just that breaking down the walls of, let me get to know you mm-hmm. beyond this. I know who you are at church and we say hi.
Yeah.
And that's it. So we, as an example, we had, they've passed away now. But there was an older couple at First Baptist years ago when Amy and I first got married, even before we got married. And we were young. I mean, we were only mm-hmm. like early 20s. And these guys were, you know, 80s. And one day they came to us like, we would like to have you over to our house for lunch. And mm-hmm. I was like, what in the world am I going to talk about with them? Like, I was legitimately like, this is going to be the weirdest thing ever. And we went, and it was one. Had a great time with them.
Yeah.
They ended up being like, we included them as a position, like in our wedding, like mm-hmm. not in the ceremony, but they had a role. Like we were like, we want you to be part of this for our wedding. But that's how it started. Mm-hmm. Was just this. We got to know him, and like his testimony was one of the coolest things you know mm-hmm. I've ever heard. But that's how it's got to start. Not mm-hmm. this mentor me,
right?
But let's get to know each other.
Yeah. It doesn't always have to be a formal.
It doesn't. Thing. It doesn't. Yeah. It almost becomes that you have become like that person that I know I can go to,
right?
To talk to, and vice versa, right? Then it gives the older saint when they build that relationship, then they know that you can be somebody that, hey, we need help. Can you come help us? Mm-hmm. Like that. It's based on a relationship, not this. Like we have formally combined you together to be mentor mentee. You know. Yeah. So it's just stuff like that. I think is important. Mm-hmm. Is don't just congregate to the people you're most comfortable with or you feel like you have the most in common with.
Yeah.
And
here's the thing. There are people that are actually doing this already in our congregation and mm-hmm. doing it very well that we can direct you to, because sometimes I just want to like go along.
Yeah.
And can I just come and just see what you do? Because they've been doing it for years. Like that's just how they naturally are wired. Yeah. So like, man, I just need to learn from that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think, so I'm going to speak to us that are younger. And when I say younger, I'm saying, you know, like I don't consider myself young by any means. I don't. I don't feel young. But I am not, you know, I look at somebody that's 20 years. Well, I look at somebody that's 20 years or older than I am.
Sure.
Like they've experienced decades that I, you know, like our world and country was completely different under them. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to speak to those of us that maybe look at somebody that's older than us and we even wrestle with like, I don't know what to talk about. Mm-hmm. This is the lesson that I have to challenge myself with. Stop making it about me. Mm-hmm. Become interested in their lives.
Yeah.
Meaning, be interested in hearing their stories. See, sometimes we, as the younger, we look into, I need a mentor to help me. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, but they also need somebody to like, I just want to hear about you.
Yeah.
Like, tell me what your life was like. I mean, I love listening to people that are old. So I'll throw him out. Ardell. When Ardell was here. Mm-hmm. Man, that guy, he cornered me a few times before the merger at down at the well. Mm-hmm. And we would do men's breakfast at the time. And he cornered me a couple times. And that guy just, it was just him and I, everybody else was gone. Mm-hmm. But he was telling me stories about his military experiences and where he's been in the world. And just, and don't get me wrong, it got to the point, I was like, dude, like, my wife is probably angry that you're like, I'm still here because this is a while.
Yeah.
But it was so amazing to hear his experiences and what he had seen and what he has experienced. Mm-hmm. And so those of us that are younger, see the relationship not about what are you going to help me with mm-hmm. versus start seeing it as, I mean, I just want to hear. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to hear about your life. Mm-hmm. Like, what did you experience? What was the world like when you were a kid?
Yeah.
And I think that helps us then want to be engaged in these conversations mm-hmm. versus like, yeah, how does your life pertain to my life?
Right.
Stop that. Like, I just want to hear about your life too.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have a friend who models this really well as far as, like she's got, five or six kids. She mm-hmm. doesn't live here in this state. She lives in a different state. But her kids are all super active. So she's always constantly driving to practices and, mm-hmm. you know, all over the place. And they have a really large, like, college age kids that come to their church. And so a lot of times she has young college girls will just ride along with her while she's running her kids to and fro and talking Bible. Yeah. And for them to see her just living her life and how crazy it is. And, but I've always kind of loved that because, I mean, that's real. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you can't really hide the craziness.
Yeah. And that goes back to the agendas and stuff like that, too, because mm-hmm. they're combined as those moments only happen when you open your, you know, so if we're so busy that we can't have mm-hmm. those moments of, you know, just pause.
Yeah.
In the sense of like, I'm going to come with you and just hang out for, even if it's for 45 minutes, like, you know.
Okay.
But if our agendas are so busy, we don't even have space to even have that moment of just. And so, again, it's not about, hey, we have to set aside time to have coffee or whatnot. Sometimes it's as simple as that. It's, hey, I got errands to run. Mm-hmm. You're more than welcome to, like, I would just like to spend. Or somebody that's younger that's a little more mobile reaching out to somebody that's older and saying, hey, I got to run to Cedar Rapids and run to Walmart. Would you want to come with me?
Yeah.
Do you have some things you need to get? Guess what? You've created, you got to do it anyways. Yeah. Now you've created this opportunity to just spend some time visiting and you're blessing them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just being a little wiser in how we see things,
that's a really opportunities. Good idea. Yeah.
So
yeah, if you're looking for something a little more formal, I can link some resources in the show notes. Like there's a book called Growing Together by Melissa Kruger, and this is I've used actually this to work through with someone younger. Cool. And this is really good because it really kind of just takes you through like the Christian life and what that looks like and why we do the things we do, like the disciplines and stuff. And then there's like discussion questions. I also gave out, which a small group I was part of years ago, and we have a bunch of them on your shelf here in your office, David. But the is it Growing in Faith or what is that one?
Growing in Christ.
Growing in Christ. We worked through that as a small group. And so that's when we kind of give out to people. I actually have used that too with someone that I used to work with. We walked through that together.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty easy little book. And then also another idea that I got from someone in our congregation who was meeting with a young woman. She was going to use our tracks. I can't think of what it's called.
Oh, our discipleship tracks?
Our discipleship tracks. Yeah. She was going to use, because she's worked through it once, so she's familiar, and she was just going to walk through one of those. So those are really good resources.
And those are available. Like, that's one of the things that when we created those, I would rather see them used like that than us having these classes.
Sure.
The classes are great when we do them again, but it's much more powerful to say, I have some material, let's sit down and just go through it, and, you know.
So I think sometimes having those sort of resources are helpful because it kind of feels that, well, what do I say and what do I ask and what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, for my brain, that kind of works.
Yeah. Well, but, and I would also just encourage anybody listening when it comes to mentorship of any kind, whether it's formal or whatnot, is you are not called to have all the answers. Let's just say it real quick. You don't have to, nothing is better than having somebody you're helping and them look at you and have a question and you be honest enough to say, that's a great question. I don't know.
Yep.
But
I mean, David is available 24/7.
Yeah. And David might be like, I don't know. Let's ask Google. But I think that's another thing we need to allow the culture in Christianity to change. You're not meant to have all the answers. The answer that you're always supposed to give is, that's a great question. Man, let's seek that answer together.
Yeah.
Versus, oh, I don't know. Or let me just make something up. And it's, I think we do that. That's more detrimental when we try to answer something instead of just being honest, saying, that's a great question because we're growing.
Yeah.
So just encourage anybody because we're all called to mentor somebody at, you know, at, throughout life to do that. Yeah. Don't make an excuse because you think, I don't know everything. Right. Doesn't matter.
Because here's the thing. None of us know everything.
No. So it's all good. Well, do you have more questions before we're done? Okay. No. I just wanted to say this last thing before this entire series that we just did with The Narrow Road. I just want to throw this out here. Everybody's listening, and then you can share this with others who don't listen. Without realizing it, that entire series, we were basically going through our core values. And so some of them were a little bit like hitting on the nose. You know, yes, I love our core values. But some of them were a little more on the nose, like rescue mission and even the mask agendas. And that's from our core values. But I just want to say that because those core values are there because that's what we want to say guides us to live out our life of Christ. These are the values. Mm-hmm. You know, we are pursuing Jesus and the authority of Christ. And our attitude is to be one of victory and joy and adventure and excitement as we live on this rescue mission. Mm-hmm. And he pours through us into the world and we just don't get in his way.
Yep.
And so I just loved that as we were going through this is like, these are the values we say we are going to live by mm-hmm. as a church, but most importantly as Christians. And that's what walking the narrow road is. Mm-hmm. So that's why I loved awesome. The series so
Perfect.
Much.
Perfect. Okay. So
yes,
like I said, at the beginning of this episode, we're taking a break. We'll be back in June, hopefully with some guests.
Yeah, hopefully.
Willing guests. And then we'll kind of run on I don't even really know what the schedule is going to look like yet this summer, but it'll be a little sporadic, but we'll announce it. And
special editions.
Yes, yes. So hope everyone is excited for the summertime. And usually it's a little bit slower pace for most of us. I know I'm excited to have yes. Tyler home and to just, have a little more downtime.
Amen. I'm 100% agree with that.
All right. Thanks for listening.